This is the Hoosier Ag Today morning podcast on Monday morning, the 14th of July, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, and the Hat Podcast is brought to you today by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. C.J. Miller and I will have the news today, including details on disaster relief funds coming available from USDA and a farm stress update from Purdue on ways to manage your stress on the farm. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast, hit and miss rain chances this week. And the Friday corn, bean, and wheat markets all lower after the USDA WASDE update Friday. We'll have Brian Basting market analysis on the way on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at FFBT.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
What does it mean to farm God's way? It means meeting the basic needs of life through farming, growing food sustainably, and celebrating God's blessings. Join fellow ag professionals, farmers, gardeners, and missionaries for two Farming God's Way training events. Farming God's Way training August 7th through 9th and vegetable training August 11th and 12th. There will be five accredited trainers attending this year's events. The multi-day events are hosted and presented by Agri Stewards and supported by the Hoppert Institute for Agricultural Studies at Huntington University. For information and to register, visit agristewards.org/events. That's agristewards.org/events.
Indiana farmers can now sign up for disaster relief and tips for managing your stress from an Indiana ag leader. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by the Indiana State Fair, August 1st through the 17th. Find advanced discount deals and daily ways to save on admission, parking, and the midway at IndianaStateFair.com. Well, USDA will soon begin rolling out relief funds to Indiana farmers for natural disasters that took place in 2023 and 2024. Andy Eubank has more.
Danny Munch, an economist for the American Farm Bureau Federation, explains who is eligible for the assistance.
Farmers and ranchers who received a crop insurance or non-insured disaster assistance program payment for 2023 and 2024 for a qualifying disaster, which includes drought, floods, freezes, wildfires, might be eligible for stage one of USDA's new supplemental disaster relief program. They must meet standard USDA income and conservation rules and haven't already received a 2022 ER payment for the same crop.
Munch says the funding for the assistance comes from a congressional mandate.
The $16 billion in aid for this program comes from the Disaster Relief Supplemental Appropriations Act of 2025, which is passed by Congress at the end of last year. And this announcement is only stage one, and the funding will be used across both stage one and stage two when eventually stage two is announced.
USDA's Farm Service Agency will mail pre-filled applications to eligible farmers based on existing crop insurance records.
Farmers can also contact our local FSA office to get the form. They must complete and return the signed form. They must also commit to keeping crop insurance or NAP coverage for the next 2 years. The payment calculation is just going to be upping in existing insurance coverage levels by a corresponding factor.
The market intel page at fb.org has more details. I'm Andy Eubank.
You've been hearing us talk a lot lately about healthy ways to manage your stress. And that's thanks to the Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team. They also host a podcast called Tools for Today's Farmers, and one of their recent guests was Indiana ag leader Julia Wickard. She also raises cattle and goats with her husband and family on their farm in Hancock County. So what advice does she give when it comes to managing your stress?
I think about balance, because I think at the end of the day, it's about trying to find that balance between work and your personal life. But in agriculture, they blend. they come together. The separation isn't always there. So I think you just have to be really intentional to know when you have to say, I need to step away.
Julia also says you should seek out help if you're feeling overwhelmed.
To me, the mental health should be treated the same way as the physical health piece. Making people feel comfortable. You know, I think with the advent of telehealth options, you know, maybe you don't have to walk into a doctor's office, but maybe you can talk to someone in a more certified role that can help you work through a situation so you don't feel like you're in a situation where you have to go knocking on someone's door. The door can be open for you with programs like telehealth.
On the flip side, she says you don't have to be a trained counselor to help someone else who's having a difficult time managing their stress.
I think just listen, and sometimes don't talk. And then maybe figure out, you know, what is it the tool that you could bring to the table to help them navigate what they're going through. You know, many times I don't have the expertise, but we can figure out how to find maybe the expertise for someone. Sometimes you can just tell that someone just needs to talk and just needs to be heard.
Hear more from Julia Wickard in the Tools for Today's Farmers podcast. It's part of the Hoosier Ag Today podcast network at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Starting off the work week without much going on across the Hoosier State. After an interesting weekend with scattered shower and thunderstorm action continuing to try and hold on over central and southern parts of the state, we get into the Monday time frame, and all we're dealing with is on-again, off-again clouds. There's a fairly substantial batch of a Canadian wildfire smoke trying to rotate down through parts of Wisconsin, northern Illinois, and even into Michigan. But at this point, all that's doing is creating a cloud cover and some probably brilliant sunrises and sunsets over the next couple of days. Next round of moisture sets up pretty much where we've seen it already, which is in the southern half of the state. We are definitely seeing some instability coming across and out of the Missouri Valley into Indiana here as we move through tomorrow night and Wednesday. And then we see a better chance of shower and thunderstorm action coming together as a frontal boundary comes down from the northwest later Wednesday afternoon through Thursday. So I think the second half of the week, we see chances of rain and thunderstorm action across all of the state. But I will tell you, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, on a daily basis, we may only see 60% coverage at best. I think when you put everything together, combined for the second part of the week, 90% coverage with rain totals anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch, but it is largely hit and miss. And why I point that out is this. This past weekend, we saw that same kind of setup coming in, and where did we see large holes develop? In the northern part of the state, the western part of the state, just flat out getting missed. There is that opportunity. If we only have 60% coverage at best on any given day, Wednesday through Friday, there's a chance that you end up with all 3 days. You're in a spot that doesn't get much of anything. So just keep that in mind. Going into the weekend, 19th and 20th looks a little more active on the 19th in the southern part of Indiana. On the 20th, maybe in the north. But what we are seeing is a frontal boundary coming through over the weekend that clears out our atmosphere just a little bit. Cooler, less humid for next Monday and early Tuesday before another front comes through the upper Midwest and Great Lakes, brings rain through the northern part of the state Tuesday night into Wednesday of next week. We continue this on-again, off-again pattern with moisture here and there. Not a lot of moisture, but I'm going to call it timely rains. As long as we see some of these empty holes get filled, crops should like it and be in good shape. I do not see a long-term dry stretch unfolding for the entire state all the way through the end of the month. It really is a local and regional kind of setup if you're experiencing dryness and really needing a rain. Like I said, as we start off this week, those areas are mostly in northern Indiana. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
A sell-off across the board, corn, soybeans, and wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. And I'll have the final numbers from USDA Report Day coming up We'll begin, though, with market analysis. Grab that from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading at the end of the session. Markets were close to even on Friday before the USDA WASDE update and then moved a little lower after that report. It's nothing new to see liquidation in the marketplace, but we saw it yet again on Friday, Brian, after the report. What was in there that maybe helped push the markets further down?
Thanks for having me, Andy. I think we're just looking at a report that was generally in line with expectations for ending stocks, production, and so forth. And with that in mind, we turn back to trading weather. And the weather sure looks like it's going to be much cooler moving into the middle of July for most of the Midwest here. And we're looking at some rainfall moving in too. So the bottom line would be that not looking to much weather threat, as it were, moving into that critical period of corn pollination. Still got a ways to go on beans, of course, as your listeners know, but we're looking at some favorable conditions, crop condition wise, as we move into this second week in July. And the market just really couldn't find anything to hang its hat on, as it were, with this report on Friday.
So you're saying we quickly moved past the report and onto weather, which, of course, has been very good or promising at the very least.
I think that's the best way to summarize it. As you know, things can change. We could come in here Sunday night or Monday morning with a different forecast for the middle of July. And we're not saying this crop is made by any means, but the market is certainly looking at the consensus at the moment for a generally benign weather forecast. And as we move into corn silking pollination here, the next 2 weeks, pretty heavy, I think we're looking at the possibility of adding another 30 to 40% of the corn silking here over the next two and a half weeks. If that weather forecast plays out, then you're going to be looking at the potential for a very good corn crop. And generally speaking, there wasn't anything in the world numbers I'd add to in the report there on Friday that was very supportive in terms of a change to a bullish stance.
Let's take a more in-depth look at some of the numbers in that Friday report. U.S. yield for corn and soybeans, as expected, no change. 181 on corn, 52.5 on soybeans. But production did get lowered. Talk about that.
We knew from the acreage report at the end of June there that the USDA lowered its forecast of harvested acreage for 2025 on corn. That's just a known number. That one number will be incorporated now, at least for another month or two, perhaps waiting some FSA data on actual acreage. But point being is that we knew for this July report they were going to incorporate that harvested acreage number. And that acreage number was a bit lower than what they had penciled in back in May. So with the yield unchanged, it was just a natural fit then that with the acreage lower, we're going to stay a bit lower on production. But again, less than 50 million bushels compared, or less than 50 million bushel lower than what the trade estimate was. And so it wasn't a big surprise that number was lower.
Anything else that did surprise you, probably moderately so, if at all, from USDA?
I think on the world side, Andy, the biggest change possibly forthcoming would be the size of the Brazilian crop. At 132 million tons, USDA was up 2 million tons from last month. Now, this is the crop that they're harvesting literally as we speak. And boy, the yields are coming in pretty stout for many areas. And it wouldn't be surprising to see that number increase in future reports, perhaps as soon as August. And historically, Brazil would be in a position to export more of their crop. They don't typically store a lot of their corn in Brazil. If they grow more, they basically export it. Now, their domestic use is growing, so that's a wild card to keep an eye on. But that's the biggest thing I'd remind your listeners on moving forward is that Brazil is looking at a substantially larger crop than last year already, and probably a bigger crop than what USDA has penciled in at the moment.
After we moved lower in the market on Friday, it seemed that what were oversold markets just got more so. Is that accurate? And how much lower can they go?
In a weather market, Andy, it can keep going lower. I'd remind your listeners, there will become a point where we reach a value level and users will step in here. And perhaps if the weather forecast changes, we'll see some short covering. But when the funds get an inclination to push the market one way or another, either higher or lower, they can push the market further short term. In this case, if the weather forecasts remain good, moving into pollination here, for example, on corn, perhaps they can push it even lower. So I think we have to remind ourselves, though, that some short covering is possible anytime in these type of markets, but to get a sustained move to the upside at this point, we're probably going to need a change to crop damaging weather.
Market analysis from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Brian's number is 309-664-2314. Final numbers at the end of trade. September corn had gone down 3.25 Friday, 396. December 4.12 1/4 down 4.25. March 4.75 lower, going to 429. August beans dipped to 10.04 1/4, 8.25 down, 7.25 lower on the September, 9.95. November 10.07 1/4, 6.5 down. September wheat led lower, 9.5 cents off at 5.45. Meats mixed. August live cattle 222.20, a gain of $2.97, and August lean hogs 104.67, down $1.55. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.